Ephesians chapter number 5. You say, preacher, I was going to. Well, you had more than enough opportunities. We've been in the worship service 42 minutes already. You've had plenty of chance to testify, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 22, and I know the ladies in the service would really want me to preach on this verse. Say amen, ladies. I heard three, that's about it. Wives, submit yourselves, therefore, unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I'd say there'd probably be several men like that verse to be preached on. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Notice that term, the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church, everybody notice that? The church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Now, come on, ladies, you can say amen on that one. And us men say, oh me. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Notice, the church. And gave himself for it. That he might, and this is the result, this is the reason that he gave himself for it in verse 25, is that he might accomplish verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Amen. God is interested in saving sinners, which puts them in the church. Amen. His church, his body. And as a result, he begins the work of sanctification in your life. He desires to clean you and sanctify you and set you apart for his glory and for his purpose. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Notice verse 26 is his ministry that's going on now. Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's going on now. But verse 27 is the future. That he might present it unto himself a glorious church. Amen. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And then it picks up the parallel subject of so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Notice there it is again, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall join him, be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and what? The church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's bow for a moment of prayer and ask the Lord to have his way and honor his word and use us today for his glory. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we ask God that you'll guide our thoughts and our actions and everything about us. May we be totally, Lord, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit today. Nothing short of that will accomplish the will of God. I pray this morning that you will do what needs to be done in this service. Deal with us all. We're all needy people. Yes. There's lost people need to be saved here today. Lord, there's saved people, Lord, that's allowed their spiritual life to, Lord, just kind of get in a ditch and kind of get in a rut. And Lord, they're miserable and they feel distant and out of fellowship with Jesus. And Lord, the devil's told them they've blown it, and the devil's told them no need to try. You've already tried before and you failed again. But Lord, and Lord has got them in a state of defeat. But I pray you'll help them to realize that you, as Brother Harry said, you cannot lie. And the Bible says that you cannot lie. And I thank you for that. And what you said you meant what you said. And I thank you that, Lord, we, the people of God, can get right with God and we can live for you. We can enjoy the trip. We can have joy and peace in our heart. We can do that, Lord, no matter what our possessions are, no matter what our prosperity status are. Lord, we can enjoy being born again and having sins forgiven. Lord, I want to thank you for that. Lord, have your will and your way now, I pray, and we'll give you the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I noticed an emphasis as I read the scripture, several times the term the church showed up in this passage. And I want to say it very clearly that I am a church man, local church man, to the bone. The Lord's been dealing with me about this passage and about this subject that I'm going to try to preach on this morning. I don't know that I'll get done, but the Lord's been dealing with me probably 3 or 4 weeks or a month or more than that. Lord, I was riding down the road and God began to speak to my heart about loving the church. Yeah, about loving the church. And I got a little piece of paper out and just began to meditate on that and write down a few things about loving the church. And I want to preach this morning on I love the church. Yeah. Verse 25 shows us that Christ loved the church. Amen. The Bible said there that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I made a note that if Jesus died for the church, at least we could live for it. Amen. The very least we can do is live for it. Yeah. And so we're going to try to preach on this, I love the church, this morning as the Lord would help us. I began to think about the different times throughout the New Testament, and I don't have them all yet, but I've got several verses that are written down that have documented of where God makes a distinction between the church and the world. We listen, those two identities are direct opposites. Everything the world is for, the church is against. Everything the church is against, the world's for. We are direct opposites. And if that is so, and it is so, and God all through the Bibles always worked in behalf of his people and in his people to make them distinctly different from the world in which we live. When I talk about the world, I'm talking about the world and its agenda and the God of this world, little G-O-D of this world, the prince of this world that's against God. And let me just make mention of a few of these. John 14 and 17, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive the Spirit, capital S. Talking about the Holy Spirit. The world can't receive the Spirit of truth, but we have. We that are saved have. That separates me from the world. That makes a distinction and a difference between me and the world. Now, before I got saved, ladies and gentlemen, before I got saved, I had no interest in being different of the world. In fact, my main motive before salvation was I wanted to be like the world. I wanted to have both hands full of the world. I wanted the world to know me, and I wanted to know the world. I mean, I wanted to be one with the world. But when I got saved on January the 20th, 1981, and I bowed at an old-fashioned altar and got gloriously, eternally, wonderfully, never to regret it, saved, I want to tell you it made an instant difference in me. I got up and my heart was changed. My attitude was changed. I hadn't even been in a Sunday school class. I just got out of the altar. I just got saved. And my mind changed toward the world and toward sin. And my heart changed. My direction changed. I want to tell you, when you get saved, God will change you. If you're not changed, you're not saved. I can prove that to you from the scripture. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. But the Bible goes on to say in John 14 and 30, the Bible talks about the prince of this world. the prince of this world, Jesus said, hath nothing in me. Jesus said, the prince of this world, which is the devil, my friend, that's running the show of this world, he's the God of this world. Jesus said, he hath nothing in me. Why does anybody saved want to have, why do they want to be worldly in their life? That's governed by the prince of the world that has nothing in Jesus, has nothing to do with Jesus. There's no camaraderie with Jesus, nothing. Nothing in common with Jesus. Well, we're going to have a time this morning. I'd say if you was going to shout, you probably should have already done it. John 14:22, Jesus said that Jesus was manifested unto the disciples and not unto the world. That's what Jesus said. Listen, here's you another one. John 14:30. And listen to this. John 14:27 tells us very plainly that the world cannot give you peace like Jesus can give you peace. John 15:19, how much plainer can it get? Jesus talking to his own said, ye are not of this world. Now how much plainer can it be? Amen. I thought y'all would like that. John 17:9 in the high priestly prayer of our Lord, John 17, it describes the people of God with this term, out of the world. Amen. He said, I have chosen you out of the world. John 17:14, the world hates you because we are not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world. We're to practice the same separation and sanctification as did Christ when he was here. Christ is not of this world, and neither are his people or his followers. Amen. I'd say you could probably go and find a lot of churches preaching what I'm preaching right now. Not. John 17:16 says it plainly again, that we're not of the world, just to name a few. I want it to be known this morning that I love the church. I love the church. And there's too much evidence in the Bible for anyone to deny that Christ loved the church. Nobody can deny that Christ loved the church because there's too much evidence against that. There's too much evidence for it that he does love the church. I want to ask you, what evidence is there in your life as a believer that you love the church? Can it be questioned? Hello. Can it be denied or doubted that you love the church? Matthew 16:18 is the first mention of the word church. I like the word church. Jesus died for the church. I like that. Amen. A lot of so-called assemblies have removed church from their sign and replaced it with fellowship, replaced it with center. Amen. What's wrong with church? What's wrong with that Bible word, church? Amen. Hallelujah. We're a church. We're a local Bible-believing church right here. Amen. If you go to Matthew 16:18, which is the first mention of the word church, you'll find where Jesus talking to Peter said these words. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if you look at the first mention, you'll find out very plainly and very clearly the origin of the church, where it started. You wonder where it started? It started with Christ. Amen? Started with Christ and the disciples and the apostles. Started with them. Amen? You'll find the origin of the church. You'll find the owner of the church. He said, I'm going to build my church. Amen. RBT will be in trouble when we start losing sight of who it really is that runs the show around here. Amen. That's right. It's not me. I'm the pastor. I'm the overseer. Amen. And God has put a lot more responsibility on me than I'm going to look forward to giving an account to. Amen. Amen. That's right. Someone said that I was trying, this is years ago, said that I was trying to be the chief around here. I said, no, I'm not trying to be the chief. I'm just keeping you from being the chief. Amen. Most people that fuss and fight about a man of God that tries to lead the church in the right way, biblically, not foolishness, but biblically, it's because they're wanting in the driver's seat. Well, you find the origin of the church, the owner of the church, and also you find the opposition of the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Now, someone might point out a lot of the wrongs that are in the church and say this negative and that negative. And we'd all have to agree that there are some faults and failures in our church. Why? Because our church are filled with imperfect people pastored by an imperfect pastor. Amen. That's right. Yeah, amen. And where you put imperfect people together, you're going to have flaws. I'm not excusing that. Amen. We'll do the best we can. Try to improve. Work on our weaknesses. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of wrongs. There's some wrongs in the church, and we ought to try to straighten those out. We ought to try to work on those. I want to tell you, praise God, there's a whole lot more right with the church than there are wrong with the church. Amen. Amen. How many people have left the house of God over the years because of a failure in somebody's life, or a weakness in somebody's life, or an offense in somebody's life? Amen. But you can take a lot of those same wrongs and find them at the place where you work, but you still go to work. You can take those same wrongs and go to Walmart and find that there's guilty. They're guilty there, but you still shop at Walmart. Amen. Amen. Hello. There's a lot of rights with the church, and I love the church in spite of the flaws, in spite of it, in spite of the imperfections. Amen. I love the church. It's the best thing going. In fact, there's only two identities that you're a part of this morning. It's either the world or the church. It's only two. Amen? So if you don't like the church, guess where you're headed? You're headed to the world. Amen. And a lot of churches have lost so many to the world, they decide what we better do is, if we can't beat them, join them. Amen. We'll just fill our church full of the world and they'll come back. Yeah, and then what do you have? Instead of a sheepfold, you got a goat farm. Amen. That's exactly right. I wrote these down. Listen, I'm trying to be sensitive, Lord. I wrote these things down. If these are just some characteristics of love. These are just some things that goes with love. If you love the church, here's some things that'll be. Now, this all introduction. I may not even get to the main part this morning. Part of it anyway. I believe if you love something, you'll seek its honor. I believe if you love the church or your house, your home, your wife, your children, whatever you love, you will seek to honor it. Isn't that right? That's exactly. Everybody paying attention? Amen. You will seek to honor it verbally. You'll have a verbal, amen, vocal witness that testifies that you love the church. Amen. You won't never hear me running the church down. Why? Because I love it. Amen. You'll seek its honor verbally and also visibly. You are a living testimony of the church you attend. Amen. Listen, come on, everybody pay attention. We try to hold a standard here in the church. We're trying to keep RBT as identified as the old fashioned, still identified as the old fashioned way. Not interested in changing. I still believe that praying works. I still believe preaching works. I still believe praising God works. I still believe purity works. Amen. We don't need to change. We don't need new machinery. We don't need new methods, and we don't need new music. We just need a new devotion and a renewed heart for God. That'll do it. That'll do it. Oh, I feel God. Amen. But you'll honor it. You'll seek to honor it. If you love the church, you will honor the church. You'll seek to honor the church. Amen. That's right. You're a living testimony. We try to hold a standard, like I said, here on church property and on church activities. We try to maintain a good visible testimony. Amen. Amen. I mean, even the skating deal we're going on, we're going to go over there and we're going to be dressed right. Amen. Amen. Girls going to be dressed right. Boys going to be dressed right. That's exactly right. Amen. And what you do on your vacation is your business. What you do at your house is your business. But if it's under the name of RBT, it's my business. Woo! We're having a good time this morning. But really, the truth is, you are to seek in your daily, private, and public life to honor the church that you attend. Amen. Looks bad on the church when they know. And listen, this area knows how we stand. This church is known in this area. Amen. Good or bad, it's known. And when they see you living a life that is contrary to the reputation and testimony that we have, that is not honorable. Well, I got to hurry. Number two, not only is it, if you love something, you will seek its honor. But number two, if you love something, you'll be jealous over it. Yeah. Amen. I love that woman back there on the back. Now, I need to be more specific because there's more than one woman back there. But my wife, Elisha Rackley, sitting on the back row asleep. I mean, praying. Amen. And I love her. And I'm telling you, this preacher, I want to carry a Christ-like attitude. Amen, I do. But if you mess with her, you're subject to get hurt. I didn't say you would. I just said you're subject to. Amen. Why? Because I love her, and therefore I'm jealous over her. Now listen, I'm not so jealous over her that she can't leave the house. I'm not so jealous over her that I've got her in handcuffs and stocks and at the house and got her bars on the window. Amen? No, that's insecurity. That's not jealousy. That's insecurity. Amen? That's right. If you know they've got a good thing, then you don't have to worry about it. Say amen on the back row, honey. That's right. Woo! I try to remind her of it often. But you'll be jealous over it. In other words, whatever it is that you love and you see somebody messing with it, trying to change it, hurt it, damage it in some form, it's going to fire you up with indignation. It's what Jesus did in John 2 and also in Matthew's gospel. More than one time, the Bible shows us that he cleansed the temple. He cleansed the temple. And in John 2 and verse 17, he showed the temple was being used for ungodly and unholy purposes and practices. And the Bible makes it very clear, listen, that Jesus made a whip. In other words, he sat over there, I can see him, sitting over there on the side, watching all that was going on in the house of God that was ungodly, and he's making this whip. I don't know what it was made out of, leather or something. I don't know. He might even wanted to put a few pieces of bone in it. I don't know. Amen. But anyway, I don't know how long it took him, Brother Jeter, to make the whip. But he knew the whole time what he was going to do with it. When I get this done, I'm fixing to take care of business. Kind of like my daddy when he'd say, son, go out there and cut a switch. I didn't have to guess what is daddy going to do with the switch. Is he going to stick some tomatoes with it? Is he going to stick some beans with it? No, he's going to stick my hide with it. Amen? And I knew it. But the Bible said there, buddy, that when he made that whip and run them out, those that were doing ungodly things in the house of God, he ran them out of the house of God. And this is what the Bible said. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." You know why Jesus did that? Jesus had such a jealousy over God's house that when he saw things going on that was a disgrace, it fired him up. Amen. That word zeal means a fervent heat or an indignation, jealousy as a husband. Amen. Do you have a jealousy over the house of God? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The word eaten means to consume. We're to be consumed with it. Listen to this. I'm talking about if you love something, you'll be jealous over it. Amen. And if you take that passage of Jesus cleansing the temple, who was it that looked like the bad guy? If you'd have pulled in the religious community and interviewed them, I wonder if any of them would have had a positive word to have said about Christ. No. They would have not said nothing about the making merchandise in the house of God. They wouldn't have said nothing about the buying and selling the house of God. They wouldn't have said nothing about all the disgrace and the disrespect that going on in the house of God. No, it would have been that man with a whip that was taking a stand against it would have been the bad guy. But don't forget who that bad guy is. Jesus. If you stand for your church against things that would come against our church to change it for the worse, I want to tell you, you'll be talked about. People, they'll talk about you. They'll call you, as I've been called in the recent days, an extremist. Amen. Praise God. All that done was allowed just another big shovel full of rewards to be thrown over into my account. Amen. Call me an extremist. I don't know all about what that means, but if that is a word that describes a Jesus lover, a Jesus follower, somebody that hates sin and loves righteousness, listen, both hands are up. I'm guilty. But their idea of an extremist is if you say anything negative against sin. Well, glory, hallelujah. Not only will you seek its honor if you love something, you will be jealous over it if you love something. You will give to it if you love something. Well, amen. Some of you are tightening up now. Oh, Lord, help us. He's getting close to George Washington. Amen. That same crowd that'll fuss when the preacher preaches on Bible giving and they don't mind forking out 50, 75, 100 bucks to go watch the races. Amen. Pay all kinds of money to go sit on cold bleachers and hit 40 below zero to watch a ball game. Amen. Now, I'm not against that. If you want to go watch a ball game, help yourself. I kind of like it myself. But it'll never be with tithes and offerings or faith promise missions given. Amen. Well, amen. Yeah. You'll give to it if you love it. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, there's some men in here, you don't care one thing about hunting. That's the truth. I mean, I could point out some, and that ain't nothing negative. That's not a discredit to you. You don't care nothing about going and sitting in a tree and freezing to death. Nothing. I mean, you just don't care nothing about that. Amen. And you would say, preacher, I can't believe that you would buy a bow that cost X amount of money. I can't believe that you'd spend that kind of money on broadheads. You know, them sharp things that you shoot. I can't believe that you'd do that. Or they'd talk about Brother Tim. I can't believe he'd buy a motorcycle, you know. Amen. Or Brother Rob, buy his motorcycle. All because he's wanting to have one like mine. You know, I mean, really. You say, but preacher, I don't really, that's why you're not really wanting to give to it, is because you're not interested in it. See, I don't mind buying a bow that I want to shoot, Brother J.R. Why? Because I'm interested in it. I like it. And you usually get what you pay for. Amen. Amen. When I go to the house of God and I love the church, have I said that this morning? I love the church and I don't mind at all giving to it. Well, preacher, I just don't have it to give. I've got 3 boat payments and 4 four-wheeler payments and 3 trucks and 2 cars. Amen. I've got seven credit cards that are maxed out, and preacher, I just don't have money to give to the church. That's foolishness. Amen. If you put yourself in such financial bondage that you cannot be a scriptural, listen, I said that right, scriptural giver to the things of God, amen. This church is not funded by governmental grants. This church is not funded by hot dog sales and cakewalks, amen. This church is funded scripturally by tithes and offerings, and amen. I say if you love something, you'll give to it. That's why I'm broke. I love my wife. She has everything I got. Spends it all. Woo! Amen. Another thing, if you love something, you'll protect it. Won't you? If you love something, love your wife, love your children. How many has ever been flogged? Got to messing with them little diddles, dibbies, whatever you call them. And buddy, that mama hen lets you know right quick, I love them. And you getting in danger zone, I'm fixing to tear you up. Amen. Amen. We ought to feel that way about our church. Amen. Amen. You can have friends outside our church. You really can. I encourage you to. Amen. You can have friends outside of our church. You ought to have a line drawn. Listen, we can talk about the Tennessee Vols and the Titans, which there's not much to talk about, but we'll talk about fishing, hunting, golfing. Whatever, but you're not going to run my preacher down, and you're not going to make no negative remarks about the house of God that I go to. Amen. You say, well, they won't be my friend no more. Well, were they in the beginning? Were they really? You'll protect it. Can I preach a little right here? Thank you. What if someone was attacking our building? Would we get fired up over that? RBT, I'm going to ask you. Would you get fired? Some of y'all are nervous looking. Would you get fired up if you saw somebody defacing or destructing or damaging this building? Brother JR, I'm telling you, I'm saved and sweet as sugar. But I believe I would get highly upset if I come by here and somebody was having a sledgehammer knocking the windows out and knocking the rock off the front. Now, would you not get fired up about that? I'm talking about protecting our building. Would we not protect our building? Very few times I ever come through Rogersville that I don't come down this street, and usually I'll go around the building and just make a run through the parking lot just checking everything out. Why? Because I want to just make sure everything's okay. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about do you love this facility? I do. Listen, and I'd get upset if somebody was attacking, defacing, damaging, or disrespecting this church. I'd get upset if I come in this out in the parking lot and they were sitting in the front yard, somebody sitting there drinking beer. In fact, I wouldn't just get upset, I'd deal with it. Amen. Amen. I've caught people behind our building, amen, more than once doing ungodly things. And I've dealt with it. Amen. My wife screaming to the top of her lungs, "You're gonna get us killed! But I love this property, and I don't want to see nobody damaging it or doing things to it that's disrespectful. I'm talking about our building. Would it bother you if somebody disrespected this building? Would it bother you this morning, RBT, if somebody stood up in this service and lit up a cigarette and started smoking in the house of God? Would it? It wouldn't go on, but just a very, it wouldn't even probably get lit. But I'm just saying, if it did, would it bother you? Would you look at them and say, man, I can't believe they'd do that in the house of God. I can't believe they'd do that in the house of God. That's God's house. I can't believe they'd do that. I believe you're getting the message. What if someone was attacking our building? What if someone was attacking our beliefs? I'm talking about if you love something, you'll protect it. What if they were attacking our beliefs, our doctrine, what we believe, what we know the Bible teaches? What if they're attacking that? Would that bother you? Amen. You'll protect it. What about if What if someone was attacking not only our building and our beliefs? What if somebody was attacking our behavior, our practice, how we live? Now, I can expect that from the world. I really can. You can. You can expect that from the world. They're going to look down on you if you dress right. They're going to make fun of you if you try to clothe yourself in a way that does not draw attention to your flesh. Amen. Because that's not the way the world does it. Amen. The world says put about 10 size too small of clothes on. They call it a muffin top. I heard my niece say that one time. I said, a muffin top? I said, what in the world's a muffin top? I mean, I knew what a muffin is. You know, I've seen muffins. You know, where you got it like in a little cupcake thing, and it comes out and it just kind of goes all out on the top. That's a muffin. They try to squeeze into something that's about 9 times too small, and it squeezes all out the top and bulges out all out the top, but they think, man, look at me, I'm a size 6. Yeah, but you should be in a 15. Hey, can I help y'all with something? Everybody listen, I'm not stuttering. There ain't a thing spiritual about that. And for some of you that's not mad, let me help you with this. It is not attractive either. In fact, hey, come on now. On that word attraction, that's the reason they do the tight deal, is because they want to be looked at. Amen. But we get put down for that. We get put down for preaching against it. Not just outside the church, but there has been times inside the church people make fun of, and say negative gestures about me preaching against it. Yeah. I believe it's in the Bible. I have been preaching it for February the 2nd, I will be preaching 31 years, and I've been preaching it the whole time. It's Bible. I can prove it. I've proved it here. But now whether it ever gets practiced by some, it's your doings. But what if people attacked our church in behavior? What if somebody come in here this morning, started behaving in an indecent way? Would that bother you? Would that bother you this morning? Why? Because it's the church that we love, and it deserves more than that. Amen. Well, let me go on. If you love something, you'll honor it, you'll be jealous over it, you'll give to it, you'll be protective of it. If you love something, you'll be loyal to it and faithful. Amen. My wife doesn't have to put handcuffs on me. Are you listening? My wife doesn't have to, put they put it on you, a tracking device. You know, like you'd put on a coon dog. She don't have to do that. I go and preach revivals, all over the place. She don't have to worry about that. Are you listening? It's not that I'm not human either. It's that my love for her keeps me straight. Hello? I'm not interested in kissing around another woman. Why? My love for my wife, it keeps me straight. Amen. If I didn't love her, Brother Ivan, or if there was unfaithfulness on my part, that's the same thing as telling her I don't love you. If you love the church, there'll be a loyalty to it. Amen. And guess what? Hey, y'all listening? My wife don't have to pay me to come home either. She don't have to threaten me to come home. Why? I love her. I'm loyal to her. I'm faithful to her. I'm coming home. Like it or not, I'm coming home, Mom. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Loyalty is inseparable with love. I probably won't get no further than this. I'm talking about loyalty to the house of God. Boy, Friday night, I don't know where, we had a good crowd. But I thought while we were having such a move of God, I was up here enjoying, of course, the meeting. But you know where part of my mind was? I wish so-and-so was here. I wonder where this one's at. I wonder where that one's at. Why? Why? Not just to have your bodily presence here, not just to have you sitting on a pew, but I know that if you could have got exposed to what God was doing Friday night, then no telling what it would have done to your spiritual life. No telling what help you could have got. I'm talking about loyalty and faithfulness. If you love something, you'll be faithful and loyal to it. Listen to this. Everybody's heard of the Great Wall of China? I'm telling you, that's a majestic thing. I mean, that's an unbelievable piece of construction. Someone said that Great Wall of China, and it was built for its protection, it was built for its defense, was different miles, different lengths has been stated. Some said it was 4,191 miles long. You know, another one said it was 4,500 miles long. Either way, that's a long wall. It's 25 to 30 feet high, 25 feet wide, has a road on the top of it. Someone said it's so long that it could actually reach, if I can find it right here, that it would actually reach from Miami to the North Pole. That's a long wall. That's a lot of effort. That's a lot of time given to build such a structure. To protect it. To protect it. And guess what? It took 10 years to build it. They built a mile a day. Had over 900,000 workers on it every day. And their population wasn't at that time but 3 million. Had 70% of China's population working on the wall. I thought about that. All of the effort, all of the time that went into that, building such a wall for defense. But I went on and found out that 3 different times in the first 100 years of its existence, China was invaded by the enemy. Didn't go over the wall, didn't go around the wall, didn't go under the wall, did not go through the wall. You said, preacher, how'd they get in? The gatekeeper took a bribe. No matter how big the wall is and how much you're trying to protect, if you're going to open the gate and let the enemy in, what good's the wall? In other words, China went to all of that extremes to protect itself, but yet it was defeated 3 times in the first 100 years. Why? Because of somebody on the inside that was disloyal. Don't sell us out, church. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to sell you out. So if you love something, you'll be loyal and faithful to it. If you love something, you'll be identified with it. Amen. You won't blush when somebody says, oh, you go to RBT. What church do you go to? RBT. Excuse me? I had something caught in my throat. Where do you go to church? RBT. Why are you ashamed? If you are, I'm saying if you are, why are you ashamed? I'm not ashamed. Praise God. I'm glad to be identified with not just the church, the whole church universal. I'm glad to be identified with this local church. You'll be identified with it. Amen. Our living and our loving is inseparable. What you love, you'll live for, and there'll be evidence to verify it. You go to a ball game, go to Cherokee High School ball game, you don't have to wonder whose side you on. I don't even have to ask you. You know why, Brother Rob? All I have to do is look and see what crowd you're sitting with. Amen? What colors you wearing? Hey! What colors you wearing? Then that tells me without asking what side you're on and who you're pulling for. Amen. Amen. You'll be identified with the church if you love it. Amen. Exactly right. Well, I'm going to stop right there. You won't believe this, but that was just kind of introductory thoughts. I really do want to preach, not right now, but I want to preach on what it is that I love about the church. If I were to ask you this morning, what is it that you love about the church? how much time would you have to take to come up with some things? Amen. Do you love the church? If so, I'm going to share you the things the Lord showed me that I love about the church. And I'm going to preach on those. And the first one, now help me not to preach it. But I'm going to start with this. Maybe tonight, I'm going to start with, I love the meaning of the church. We're going to go in and find out, what does church mean? And when we find out what it means, I'm going to announce, I love it. I love the meaning of the church. And then we'll move right on. I love the master of the church. Right on down the line. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've been preaching this morning on I love the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to know clearly this morning. I want you to know very plainly. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. He really did. And you know, if you accept him as your personal Savior this morning, repent of your sin, accept Jesus as your Savior, Jesus puts you in his church. He really does. Say, preacher, why is it so important to be in his church? It's because that's the only ones going to heaven. When Jesus comes, he's coming for the church. Don't confuse Israel and the church. They're two separate dispensations, headed for two separate destinies. But the church is heaven bound with the hammer down. If you're saved, God puts you in his church. But also, if you're saved, you should want to be a part of a church, a local, Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching church. If you're not saved this morning, I want to encourage you to come. If the Lord's dealing with your heart. If you are saved this morning and you've allowed your spiritual life to get slack on you, won't you come and let God do business in your heart? Let God help you this morning. You might want to come and just renew your commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to serve you. 2012, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to bring, by my own lifestyle, I want to honor the church that I belong to, that I go to. Let the Lord help you this morning. Father, we pray in Jesus' name.